This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.
God, who not only hears our prayers, but you know the details of all of those prayers. You know the names that have been lifted this evening. You know the individuals that are not only that have not only been voiced from our lips, but also are in our heart right now as we seek you and as we depend on you to move. Lord God, I just pray that you would be Jehovah Rapha in situations where healing is needed. And Lord, I pray that you would be Jehovah Shalom where there is peace that is needed. I pray that you would be Jehovah Jireh for provision, where provision is needed. Lord, you are the Almighty God, and we seek you, and we ask you to move. Lord God, for different ones who are in the hospital right now, those that we know and those that we don't know, or we've just found out about them tonight. Lord, I do pray that more than their physical healing, that they would look to you for salvation, for their eternal destiny. But then, Lord, we also pray that you would heal them. We pray that you would help them recover speedily. Lord God, for those who have heard bad news, discouraging news, Lord God, I pray that you would give them comfort and encouragement. Lord, there are some in our number, in our church family, who have lost their jobs. And Lord God, for no reason at all, no reason on their end at all. And yet, it has caused a time of transition and searching and seeking. And Lord, I just pray that you would help them during this time to brush the dust off their feet and begin to look at what you have for them now. Dear God, I pray for our church as we have several who are at Defy Gravity tonight. Lord, I pray you allow them to have a wonderful, wonderful time while they're there, but Lord, I pray that you'd keep them safe while they're doing those activities. I pray for our activities later on this week at the ball field, and I ask you, Lord, that it would be a wonderful time of fellowship for our church family. I pray, Father, for our time tonight as we hear testimonies, scriptures that are shared from your men, the men that you have called to either serve as an elder or a deacon in this church. I praise you that they are here, that they are ready to enlist in this incredible work that you have for them. I thank you, Lord, for the health of our church. I thank you for the health of our body. And Lord God, I pray that you would be honored and glorified by what we do tonight. Speak during this time, Lord. Encourage us. May it be an example to several men, even in this room, who may be searching their own heart and saying, God, is that something that you would want me to do at some point in time? I just pray, Father, that as we lift these men up as examples to our fellowship and to our flock, I pray, Father, that you would bless them, bless their families, and encourage them in the work that they are called to do. Lord, speak during this time. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to read a verse of Scripture before we turn it over to, I think the first one is Tommy Buxton. And we are so thankful that we had three or four testimonies over the last couple of weeks. We had four different testimonies from other men. And then we'll have Ralph Mills next Wednesday night, right before we vote to affirm these men in their roles as either deacon or elder. We have two elders that are coming on, and then six deacons that are coming on. So I praise the Lord for that. Though this particular passage is focused on elders, it could apply to church leaders in general. I just want to read this to you. It's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, that says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that we will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. It's an incredible passage of Scripture, and I'm not going to teach through it, but I just want to share one thing in this passage. It says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. So he uses the word elder. That's a Greek word where we get presbyteros from, that you can hear the term Presbyterian when I say presbyteros, right? And so you've got that word elder. And he says, I am also a fellow elder. Peter is saying, I'm also a fellow elder. And then he says, shepherd, in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God. That's the Greek word poimen, where we get the word pastor from. The pastor is a shepherd. So he's telling the elders, he says, I'm also an elder. And he says, shepherd, pastor, the flock of God. So it's speaking to his shepherding care. And then it says, which is among you, serving as overseers. And that word overseer is episkopos. You can hear the term Episcopalian in that word. And it just means an overseer. It's the word where we get bishop from. And actually, when you read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where he says, if anyone desires the office of a pastor, no, it doesn't say that. Or does anyone desire the office of an elder? No, it doesn't say that. It says, if any of you desires the office of a bishop or an overseer, he desires a worthy task. These three terms are just interchangeable terms that describe different functions of the same office. That the elder speaks to his maturity, the bishop word speaks to his oversight, his management of a flock, and then then the term pastor speaks to him feeding the flock. It's just speaking to the different functions that this person provides. And I was just thinking about it. Sometimes we get hung up on terms or terminology, right? Sometimes we get hung up on, when I served as a pastor in a pastor deacon church, that's all they had were pastors and deacons. But really, the deacons served as deacons and as elders. They were serving both functions, and they were doing the best they could trying to have all of that on their plate. And yet here at Good Hope, we have deacons and we have elders. Why? The Bible speaks of both of them, and the Bible wants us to have both of them. The Lord has given us both of these roles. We're just calling them these things. It's like calling me pastor. Well, you could just as well call me bishop if you want. I mean, because that's part of the role. Or you could call me elder. But we in the American church and in our Southern Baptist context use the term pastor, just like in the Southern Baptist context, many churches use the term deacon, right, to describe what we at Good Hope call an elder. So the important thing is our function. The important part of deacons and elders is the different roles that we are about. And last Wednesday night, we read that passage in Acts chapter 6, which talks about the origin of the deacons. And then here you have a passage that speaks directly to church leadership, in particular to elders. So with that, we're going to hear from two men, and I praise the Lord for deacons and elders. We're going to have Tommy Buxton, who has prayerfully thought through and accepted us inviting him to become a deacon, and then we'll hear from Elmer Besa, also serving as a deacon, and then we'll hear Gerald Coleman, who will be serving as an elder as well. So they'll go back to back to back. Come on, brother. We're going to try using this. Okay. All right. If that gets uncomfortable.
No, I think it's fine. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. I stand very humbled before you tonight. Humbled that God would consider me for this position, that He would ask, that He would put it on the heart of someone in this church to nominate me to serve in this capacity. My story is different from a lot of others. It's probably the same as some. I'll start at about the age of 7. It was probably the first time that I can remember in my life that I set foot in a church. My grandparents on my mother's side would take me to church. They went to the Lutheran Church in Ashland, Ohio, which is where I was born. And that's my earliest remembrance of going to church. At the age of 9, my father uprooted us and moved us to North Carolina. At the age of 10 and a half, he moved us back to Ohio. And this pattern continued all of my years that I was in school. At the age of 11 and a half, we moved back to North Carolina. And we settled in the Wake Forest, Rollsville area. One of my friends that I had met in the neighborhood invited me to go to church with him. I told him that I didn't think that my parents would bring me. At that point in my life, I don't recollect that either of my parents had ever been in church. I asked my parents if I could. I told him I didn't have any way to get there. He says, "Well, you can ride the bus with us." Because at the time, Wake Crossroads Baptist Church, right over here in Wake Crossroads, had a bus ministry. And I went to church and I was able to be with my friends. I started in the Sunday school class. My brother and my sister went along with us. And they became involved in Sunday school. And at the age of 12 in 1973, I got a really, really, really awesome experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. I attended the Billy Graham Crusade in Carter Stadium. It was Carter Stadium at the time. And things started to happen in my heart. It stirred me and it moved me. And in early 1974, I was 12 years old, I gave my heart to Jesus and I decided I wanted to live the rest of my life for Him. And I was baptized. And it was wonderful. I had really awesome Sunday school teachers. It was really an awesome time in my life that I remember. Well, then my father uprooted us again, and here we go again, back to Ohio. And it was difficult. The best chance I had at going to church at that point was I would go to church with my aunt and uncle. And they were in the Pentecostal church. Praise God. I learned how to really praise God. It was quite an experience. And I'm thankful for it. It was rough moving back and forth all the time. There was no stability. It was very difficult for me to be stable, involved in a church, in one place. And it became very frustrating. By the time I turned 18, I was struggling. I joined the United States Army. And the United States Army, they're really good at teaching you. You don't need to depend on anything except your battle buddy and yourself. And that made it rough for me because for the longest time after that, I was in and out of the church. I would go to church for a while, and it was very difficult to establish that relationship and be faithful and true. And that was some of my failings in my personal nature that I just didn't have the stick to it at the time. Well, I'm gonna fast forward through a failed marriage, just didn't work out. Then in 1991, God really blessed me. He blessed me with a mate that would be with me for the rest of my life, that I absolutely adore, I treasure. We've been through some ups and downs. It's not been perfect by any means. But I tell you right now, since November of 2007, God prodded us and poked us, and we walked through the doors of Good Hope Baptist Church. I had no idea what truly being a Christian was all about until we became deep-rooted in this church. I'm thankful for the people that loved us, the ones that greeted us. I'm especially grateful to the man that invited us here. I know he was doing the work of God. Since we've come here, we became involved in church, not just going to church. It's a lot of difference from being involved and just going to church. For the longest time, I had no idea how to truly love people. It was hard for me with parents that didn't go to church. My mother went occasionally. I can't remember maybe twice in my life that I saw my father set foot in a church. I ache for his soul. My father passed away in 1996, and I ache for his soul. I never heard my father tell me the words, "I love you," until a tragedy happened in my family in 1986. My younger brother was killed in a motorcycle accident while he was serving in the military at Fort Stewart, Georgia. And the day after my brother died was the very first time I heard my father voice the words, "I love you, son," ever. So it was difficult for me to really truly understand what loving someone was all about. That's probably why my favorite verse in all of the Bible is actually two verses. So Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31 says, "Love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." And the second one is, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." And I often thought that I didn't understand how to really truly love. And then I came upon a verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth." And that is what drives me to love like Jesus did, in deed and truth. What we do for others, not what we say we're going to do, but what we actually do. I thank you for considering me. I would ask that you pray for me. I still am amazed that God asks me to do things that I'm so ill-equipped to do, so unprepared to do, not sure I can do, but with Him, I know I can do. He'll carry me. Thank you for your time. Thank you. Oh, yeah, you need that. I'm sorry.
Some of the things that he hasn't mentioned is his ministry, that they have been on, the traveling ministry and missions work that they've done over the years. And I'm just telling you, I praise the Lord that that you said yes to be a deacon, because it'll be similar to ministering to the needs of this body. So thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. Oh, you did great. You did great, brother. Elmer, come on down, brother.
Here, do you want it on this one? Okay. All right. That way you won't have to worry about it. Okay. Put it in front of you so it doesn't. Move.
Anyway, I'm just glad to be here with you all, and a little bit nervous because this is my first time to speak in a crowd like this. Anyway, I speak in our own tongue, but especially in the other tongue, that it's my second language, so it's hard for me to grasp. But anyway, I will try my best to speak what's in my heart. So anyway, I'm so glad that the Good Hope Baptist Church is giving me the opportunity to serve as well, to be a deacon. And I don't know if I can do that as well as my brother said, but anyway, it's God who given us the strength to do everything. It's not our own strength, but it's God's strength who give us everything. So anyway, my name is Elmer, and my last name is Besa. I born and raised in the Philippines. And I was born and raised in a Roman Catholic family. As you know, Philippines was been colonized by the Spaniard for around 300 years plus. So living in a Roman Catholic nation is different in other nations that we are calling, because in the Southeast Asia, we are the only Christian country, especially in part of Singapore, Malaysia, they are all a Muslim country. So they are telling us Philippines is different because we are in a Christian country, that they are telling us. So my life begins as a Roman Catholic. You know, Roman Catholics have a different belief in what I believe now. So our belief is just like doing good works, going to church, you are saved and you are going to heaven. So that's how we believe as a Roman Catholic church. And I don't know, maybe some of you has also the same way that I have as a Roman Catholic in the previous and changing gear to be a Christian. And then my Christian walk as a Roman Catholic is an ordinary way, just like going to church. And then by every year we have committed to saying something that we need to do, something that as usual as a human being, like to drink liquor. So that's every year that I have committed, oh, I will not drink liquor for this year. But after December 31, so January 1, January 2, your promises was broken. So we start again the routine that we are using as a teenager in my life. Then after the graduation, I worked in Middle East in 1992 after the Gulf War. Yeah, but anyway, in profession, I am an electrical engineer. So I'm graduated in the same colleges what we have in the Philippines. So I moved and worked in the Middle East in 1992. Working in the Middle East is too hard and tough, especially if you have another religions on what they believe. So during that time, we cannot bring anything, especially an images, like an image of Mary, an image of Jesus Christ. So you cannot do that, bring anything that will violate their laws. So during that time, I'm so fanatic in what I believe with. So sometimes I have to put something that I can hide in my wallet, maybe, or maybe in a book that nobody will try to open it. So that's how we smuggled something in that country. Then moving on that directions, that how we always did. If we have to bring something, we have to do in a way that didn't work us, especially, as I said, an images. Then in during my work, there is also like a Christian ministry that was already in the Middle East. So they have a lot of groups that already established before we go there. So there is a very strong and, let's say, a top person that tries to establish something in that country, though that it's too dangerous. And during that time, lots of my colleagues involved in that kind of activities. And then they are always asking me to be with them, meaning I just like a fellowship with them. But during the fellowship, you have to be careful on what you have to do, because sometimes if they are inviting some people, you don't know that kind of people, because sometimes there is some people their work. The work is just like to say something, or just they have to gossip that in this place there is some gathering that they have. There is a lot of people that was caught during that time, and sometimes they will be deported, and sometimes they are be go to the jail. And during the time, I'm so afraid of what I believe. So, and I said that I come to this country to work, to feed my family. So that's my goal. So in that time, in 1992, moving on in 2000, so there is a lot of friends that invited us to do some fellowships. Sometimes we go, sometimes we did, because we are so afraid on what will be the actions or things that happening to us, and then you will be going back home and you lose your job. And in 2000, I employed to another company, and that's the time maybe in 1996, I met my wife. So we get married, and then she is also a Roman Catholic believer, and they are also, their family is also so fanatic on that kind of traditions. So during the time we enjoy what we have, I give them what they need financially, but not spiritually. And then I think in 2000, that's the time I think that God has moved my heart in the other directions. Because some of my friends, they are so eagerly for me to go with them. They are always praying to me that the God will open my heart and my mind. So I think there is a things that happened during that day that I surrendered my life to Him. I don't know what's the argument that with me and my wife, and I noticed that I'm just crying. So I don't know. I'm just crying and crying, and I don't have anything to talk with. So that's the time I talk to God, and then I talk to Him. What's going on with my life? What's the missing link to me? So I go to my friend, and he is our pastor during the time, and then I go to him and I talk to him regarding the one I surrender my life. So he just asked me to just surrender your life and follow this prayer. And then during that time, I just try to place my heart, or I think I just placed my heart or my sadness during that time. So it never goes to my mind that I have to pursue this type of religion. So I just go with them, but it's not fully in my heart. So I think in 2001 or 2002, when I start going with them, enjoying the fellowship with them, and then there is one pastor that we have is Rene Bonifacio. He is so good in distributing the word of God in a very, very little way. Like he can explain what is the leaves, like what is the rule. So he explained me everything. And then I think that's the time that the Holy Spirit moved my life, and I totally surrendered my life with him and tried to meditate the word of God every morning, try to read some verses and meditate what's the meaning of that. And I think that's the time that I fully surrendered to him, giving my life to him, and I decided to be baptized with immersion in Al Kubar, in Arabian Gulf. And then during that time that we start going with the church, and the good thing there is during that time we also give or establish one mission, the Port Baptist mission. So we are the pioneer of that group during the time. And if you are a believer in Middle East, to tap, because there is a lot of issues that was concerned. So people are too aware. Let's say, for example, in a one compound, if people will be going in a group, going and out. So they are so clever to find out that there is something wrong that going on in that compound. So what we did is just like we're going pair by pair. So in every 3 minutes or three or 4 minutes, there is two guys will going out. After that, two guys going out. So we never going out in a volume, because as I said, you have to be wise as a dove. So that's how we did. So we are too clever to do that, as well as our church is close to the mosque, so that during Friday, so they are trying to go to the church. So the crowd is, there is a lot of crowd. So that's the time as well that we do our coming in, so that they will not notice that there is a lot of people that be going out and going into the building. So that's how our motivations, that how we did in the Middle East. So serving in the Lord in the Middle East is so funny, and it's so tricky. And sometimes what I'm saying is that I love to do that work. You're just like sneaking something, and then, and as well as sometimes we say, hey, if we have to go out and we've been caught, what we have to do? We have to do so. Let's face the music. So that's it. It is what it is. But we're just trusted in him, that because we are serving the Lord. So we are not serving by ourselves. We are serving him and adore him on what we have to do. So for us, in our thoughts and always in our mind, so he will protect us. He will not let us down. So from that up to 2010, I think I never see any issues or, you know, in our group, we never caught or anything like somebody was trying to caught us, because just how what we did. So we have to plan first and then execute. So that's how we plan everything before we have to move on. Let's say if we have some gathering, if we have some activities like Ramadan. So what we did in Ramadan is just like, that is a 1 week holiday for them. So that will be our 1 week holiday also. So we'll do our sport fest, in that day, because nobody will notice us that there is a big activities. So that's how we did. So what we did is just like we are doing our sport activities in every activities they have. And then the church that I'm with, the mission that I'm with in the Middle East now, it's already a church, which I'm so very happy about them. They are continuing growing on, and then they are still serving the Lord with all their heart. Then I move as well in Abu Dhabi, and I have also involved in church in that. Abu Dhabi is also different, so it's an open country, but still there is a limitations in the rule that what we have there. So what we have also to do is just like we do our own activities in evening, Friday evening, and then we do our services in Sunday as well. So there is two activities we have in Abu Dhabi. Then when I'm moving here in 2011, I don't know, maybe God has purpose to me. Maybe this is my purpose, because I was just here only in a short period of time. So when I arrived here in 2011, I involved in one Filipino church community as well in Raleigh. And they asked me about going in there as well to be a member, but I tell them, my doctrine is a Baptist, so I need to have a Baptist doctrine. They tell me, no, it's the same. No, you have a different, I have a different. My heart is looking for a different doctrine, because I told them, when it is sin, it is sin. So you have a different way, I have a different way. So I asked in my hotel, I asked if you can find me a church. So I go here one day, and I heard a very powerful message from Pastor Keith, and I said to myself, this is it. This is, I want to involve myself. And I met Patty, and I met Patty, and I told her that, hey, Patty, I ruined my passport. it's funny, because I lost my passport, so he told me, what? Your passport? So anyway, that's how it goes then. It's just only a short period of time, so I don't know that I will be coming back here in the States. So after 6 months periods, I go back in Abu Dhabi, and also I join again with my previous church. And after 3 months, my boss here in Raleigh sent me an email that they want my services back here in Raleigh for a permanent job. So I'm praise God and very thankful to him that he bring me back here to be with my family as well again. And here we go. Here we are. I bring my family as well to the Filipino church, and I bring my family here with Pastor Kit, and I tell them, so you have to choose what church we have to be with. And they inform me that we will go to Baptist church, because they have already also have a doctrine in the Philippines in a Baptist church as well. So the longing as well, the doctrines, the preachings that our hearts and our soul will be fed correctly. So thank you again for this opportunity, and I'm too nervous. So I hope that you will vote to me to be a deacon as well. So thank you.
What an honor to hear that testimony. Praise the Lord. So good luck, Gerald.
I got nothing.
It's been a while since I've had this. I don't care.
Or the other side.
Or my glasses. And then, that'll work? Hello? Can you hear me okay? I'm not sure exactly how I'm supposed to follow that. So Tommy, who I've known for quite a while now, and I know his heart, so I know where he's at. And then Elmer is, you know, in a underground church in the Middle East. I mean, I got nothing on that. So anyways, good evening, church. It's an honor to be here tonight. I'm thankful that elders have asked me to serve again as an elder here at Good Hope. And I'm thankful for this little bit of opportunity to come and share a little bit what's on my heart and a little bit about my testimony. I, for you who don't know me, I'm Gerald Coleman. I am married. Andra is my wife. And believe it or not, let's see, let me get this right. In about 6 weeks, we will be celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary. Yeah. So, and if you ask her, let me just say, if you ask her, she will say that's the best 25 years of her life. After you get her up off the floor from laughing, I think she would probably say that. So, I have two children. My daughter Peyton is 19. She is a rising sophomore. I think my children are coming in now. Why don't y'all come on in and have a seat? My daughter Peyton, she's a rising sophomore at Temple University up in Philadelphia. And my son Jackson, who is will be 16 here in a few days. He is a rising junior at Panther Creek High School. He's the reason that we're here. He attended the school, the preschool here when we first moved to Cary. So he was in the preschool for a little while. So we decided to start the church here. So it's his fault that we're here. So that's kind of the way it works. I just want to give you a little bit of background about my family and myself here, just to get to know me just a little bit better here from the church side. So my family, as a group, we served and taught the three or four-year-old class for a little while, a couple years, a few years back. My wife, Andra, who most of you will know from singing, she sings in the choir. She sings quite a few solos. She also helps Luann from time to time with leading the choir. And she also currently is working with the youth band, so she's downstairs now working with the youth, and she also is currently the assistant teacher for the high school girls. I am more than blessed that the Lord introduced me to her, and that was he has been overly gracious and kind to me to be married to her. It's been an honor to be married to her, so I am thankful for that. Thankful for my children. My daughter Peyton, when she was here, she was involved quite a bit in the youth band. She was also involved in all the various things that kind of grew up here. So we have been here. We joined a church in March. I think I was told today, March of 2005. So they've pretty much grown up here in the church. She was involved quite a bit in the youth band and all the other activities. She led the youth band for a couple of years. My son Jackson is also involved in the youth band. He's actually played in the big band a few times, plays guitar. And I understand this weekend they're both playing guitar at the 10:30 service. So I'm thrilled about that. That'll be good for me. As you can tell, my wife and children get all their musical talent from me for sure. They just don't know it. They don't recognize it too much. Myself, I've served in quite a few roles over the years here at Good Hope. I was a high school boys teacher for, three or four years. I've also taught, you know, several adult classes, youth classes over the years, taught Bible studies, that type of thing. I've also, for the last four or five years, been the men's ministry director here at Good Hope. This year we're going to get someone new for that. And I've also served as an elder before. A couple years ago, 2 years ago, I was served as a three-year period here as an elder. The first year was when Keith left. My last year, I was the chairman of that year, and that's the year that we hired Josh. So as long as Josh does well, I am taking full credit for that, just to let you know. If he goes south on me, I'm going to blame it on Roger Valacourse there, I think. So I was going to end up with so. I really want to talk about something in particular tonight, just a little bit, because it ties a little bit into my own personal testimony, and that is the Monday night Bible study that is currently going on here at the church. I started that study about 11 years ago. We've been in the church just a few months, and it stems out of a former church that I came from. There are many nights in that study. Earl was one of the original people in that study, and Billy Williams. There were many nights it was just us, wasn't it, Earl? Two or three guys for several years. And there were many nights when it was just me. And I remember sitting up here in some of these places and I would just pray. I pray, Lord, you know, can you bring me men? Can you bring men? Can you help me understand what you want me to do with this ministry? And he has blessed it beyond measure. There have been over 60 guys thereabouts that have come through that ministry over the years. A number of guys have become deacons and elders and teachers and all these different things. And so it's near and dear personally to my heart. I was baptized as a young child about 10 years old at a vacation Bible school in Fayetteville. That's back when the buses used to come around and get kids in the neighborhoods. I don't know if y'all remember that. They would never do that today. But they would come and pick you up. And at the end of a week Bible study in the summertime, I got baptized at the end of that. So I was about 10 years old or so then. My family moved. I grew up in the Fayetteville area, in the East Fayetteville area. And down there, the Cape Fear River obviously runs in the middle of it. And it depends upon which side of the river you're on, you know, that kind of a thing. So my family wanted to be on the other side of the river. So we moved to the other side of the river, kind of where my family was from. We grew up in a little town called Stedman, which is a little one light. I mean, I think it got a light now. It had a caution light when I was there. You had three churches. You had the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, and the Holiness Church. And everybody was a little nervous about the Holiness Church and the Presbyterians. Anyway, I mean, Pentecostal stuff here. But my father was Methodist, and my mom was Baptist. My dad thought Baptists were a little crazy. So he grew up in the Methodist Church. So we went to the Methodist Church the whole entire time I was in junior high school and high school. You know, I always knew who God was, and I always knew who Jesus was, but growing up through high school, I never really thought about it in a context of my own personal life, you know, how it would relate to me personally and what it could be to live that kind of a lifestyle. Just really kind of never dawned on me, to be honest with you. I went on through school and went to school at Carolina. I met my wife, Andra, there. We lived in the same dorm. She'd actually been dating the guy who lived next door to me, and that's how I met her. So needless to say, he and I were not the closest of friends through college. But anyway, so we dated all through college, and about a year after college, we decided to get married. She asked me three or four times, and I finally said yes. And she was begging, and I just felt sorry for her. So we ended up getting married, and we moved to a little town called Sanford, which is about 45 minutes from here, south of here. And we didn't know a soul. And so I had a job in Fayetteville. She had a job in Chapel Hill, and we sort of half the drive. We looked on a map, said, what's halfway? And that's literally what we did. Moved in a little apartment over there. A few months went by living in an apartment, and I do not recall, my memory's not great, I do not recall us talking about buying a house, but one day I get a phone call. And it's my wife, Andrea, and she's like, I have found a house. I'm like, okay, you know, here we are. We have no money. You know how it is when you first start, you know. And I'm like, so I'm going to be the good husband. And so I decide, okay. So a few months go by, and guess what? We buy a house, right? The way it goes. And so we buy this little house in Sanford. And all of a sudden, I noticed that a few nights a week, and on Sundays, you could hear children in the background. And I was like, you know, kind of what's going on there? It took me a little while. So lo and behold, I discovered there was a little Baptist church across the pond in the back of the neighborhood that we had moved into. It was set up just very, very similar. It's a white clapboard church, but it's identical in a lot of ways to the way this church is set up. So I kid now, this is part of my testimony, if the Lord would have had the you know, whatever was the closest home that was possible to that church for sale, that would have been the house that I would have bought, because that was the closest house toward that church. And it's kind of funny now looking back on it, how he works things out. The parsonage would have been for sale. That's where I would have ended up, I guarantee you. So Andrea and her, you know, sweet way that she has, she wanted us to start going to church. And so she convinced me to go. So we went. I had kind of developed, you kind of have to know me a little bit, I kind of had developed these little You know how you hate to witness to certain people? You know, we're scared to witness sometimes because we're scared we're going to ask a question we don't know the answer to. But have you ever tried to witness people who've got all these really hard questions that you don't know the answer to? You know, and it makes you nervous, right? Well, I had some of those questions down pat. So anybody who was, you know, trying to talk kind of religion to me, I'd ask them these oddball questions. And they would be like, you know, and they would just kind of leave you alone. So I'd kind of started that for a few years, you know. Well, we went over to just started going to this little church. It's called Cool Springs Baptist. And we kind of just fell in, and we had three or four couples there that were our same age. You know, a lot of, we have that here going on as well. Some of you may have done that too when you went to a church. Three or four couples that were our same age. I think one of them had a child, maybe had a baby. But we all kind of clicked together, you know, and we grew up a little bit together. We all had children together. You know, we were just, we were kind of inseparable there. And we still do things with them now, not as much as I would like to, but we still have a opportunity to see them and watch their kids. All of our kids are grown now. We kind of fell in that way. And so we started getting a little bit more involved. Well, I played a lot of sports in high school, and I played soccer for several years in high school, and I had thought about actually playing in college, but I got into Carolina, and I was not that good, so I kind of stopped that. So, and I had thought that I had eventually was going to be, I always wanted to be a coach. I wanted to be a basketball, high school basketball coach, and potentially a soccer coach. So I met a guy at a church, and he was a teacher at the Lee Senior High School. And I asked him about their soccer program, and they were kind of starting it. And so I asked him if they took volunteers. So I volunteered to coach the high school soccer team. I wasn't the head coach because I wasn't the teacher, but I was kind of running the entire team. And the guy who was there left, and another man came and took that position for a year. Well, it turned out that he also went to church at Cool Springs, kind of way God works things out. His name is David Glass. And so I got to know David through the coaching part of it, and I got to know him, obviously, through church, and he turned out to be a deacon at that church. It was a deacon-led church. And he came to me one day, and he said, "Hey, Gerald, I'm thinking about starting a Monday night Bible study." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "I'm going to have it out behind my house. It's going to be in a little building. It's got to have like a little storage building out back, a little garage." And so I said, "Sure, I'll come." Well, it was me and David, you know, and it was sort of like what it was here, you know, when we started it. It was me and him, and we started talking about all these things. Well, David's a very straight-laced kind of a guy. Our personalities couldn't be more opposite, but he is very serious, didn't really kid around a whole lot. And so he and I would get into these conversations, and I'd hit him with all these oddball questions, right? You know, I was being my kind of smart alecky self. And so I was hitting him that kind of stuff, and he'd always have this real pat answer, and he would say, "Well, that's in the Bible." And I'd be like, "No, it's not." He's like, "Yeah, it is." I'm like, "No, it's not." You know, we'd get in these little arguments, and he would say, "I'd challenge you to find it." And I come to the Bible study the next week, and I couldn't really find it, and he would show me these concepts, right? These like just obscure things, you know, the dinosaur stuff, all that kind of stuff. These obscure things, you know, and he would, and it kind of got me, you know, thinking a little bit. He gave me this book. You had mentioned Ken Ham. He's the one that has built the Ark. He has this book called The Bible Has the Answers. And David gave me that book. I was going to bring a copy, but I'm all out. I've given that book out a bunch of times. He gave me this book. And he and I, for just months on end, would talk through all of these just concepts, you know. And so I remember one night, I think, I'm not sure if Peyton was born or maybe Andrew was pregnant with her. I remember one night, you know, sitting out after we got done, I was sitting out in the car, and I was just, you know, deep in thought and praying. And I thought, you know what, I need to start taking this a little more seriously. I need to try to figure out what is it that God is saying to me. God's given me some gifts. What is it? What can a life look like that is centered around him? Here I am, you know, newly married. I'm fixing to have my first child. I don't know, you know, you know how it is. You're kind of a little lost. You got all these big ideas and how things are going to go. And you think things are going to go. And so I really just started from that point on, you know, just trying to understand where he would have me be. So fast forward, here I am, you know, served as an elder in this church, and I'm standing up here tonight. It's kind of a bizarre thing, to be very honest, in my mind, that I could get to a point like this, to be even asked or even considered for something like this. I think, you know, you had said about being ill-prepared and ill-equipped. These kinds of positions will humble you. Just reading the description alone will humble you. But as long as I am here at Good Hope, and as long as Good Hope allows me, I will always have a Monday night Bible study. It meant so much to me personally, getting me to the point to where I'm at now, and I know that it's meant a lot to guys here. I've had many guys tell me how much it's meant to them. This is an ad if anybody wants to start, if any men in here want to kind of get a Bible study started. But it's just kind of part of who I am now, and I'm thankful that the Lord has provided me that opportunity to kind of continue that thought process and continue that through the way. And I say all this, church, not to be, you know, bragging or anything like that. I say this to say that my family and I, we're committed to Good Hope. You know, we've had some tough times here, like everybody else has. We've had many opportunities to leave. We've had, you know, I've served with a lot of people who have left over the years, and for whatever various reasons, you know, I've never really felt it. I've never felt the call to leave. The Lord has always just kept me here. And to be very honest with you, and I'll leave you with this because I know we've got to get moving. And I've said this to the elders and Josh personally, and I've said this to anybody who will listen. I fully believe, and you're never going to convince me otherwise, I fully believe that God wants to do something great here at Good Hope, right? And I have been saying that for the whole time I've been here, for 10 years. And, you know, we as a church have a tendency sometimes to get down in the muck and mire, and we have a tendency to let the old devil work on us as a church, and he gets us off our game. You know, it's almost like, I think I may have talked to Josh about this when we were first interviewing him or talking to him about it. It seems like when we kind of get going in a certain way, and it's a positive way, you know, we fall off. You know, Satan will come in and he'll attack something part of the church, and we'll just, you know, and a year goes by and we're like, what happened? You know, that's a sign that we want to go somewhere. You know what I mean? And God wants to take us somewhere. And I would say, and it just solidifies my opinion about it, is the campaign that we've had with the financing of these buildings just goes to show what the Lord wants to do here and what he can do here if we'll just let him do it, you know. And so as an elder, a former elder here, and potentially as another elder serving here, I just want to let you know from my perspective and from my heart, my only intention here is to do whatever it is that the Lord wants to do at Good Hope. Whatever we as a church, or, you know, as a vision, have decided that the Lord wants to lead us in a path, that's what I want to try. That's what my family, and that's what I am committed to do, that vision, to try to help us not, you know, get off the tracks a little bit and to keep going forward. There are tremendous, tremendous opportunities we have here. I mean, it's unbelievable, really, and Josh will tell you, of what the community that we live in and the people that God brings here. You know, every now that people come, I always look at them like, you know, the Lord brought you here. You know, what is he wanting to do with you? There's a reason that you're here, you know. And we as a church just need to do that. So, you know, I love you, church. You know, I pray for you. I know you guys pray for me. I know you guys have prayed for me and my family over all these years. And I, you know, appreciate the opportunity for it tonight, to be able just to come and speak to you for a little while. So thank you very much.
So I want to share one verse to leave you with, and then we'll close in prayer. But we're just so blessed as a church. I can only say we're just so blessed as a church to have the kind of men who have spoken last week, this week, the week before last, and then next week. I just praise the Lord for that. And this is the verse I wanted to share, was 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Says, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And the that verse came to my mind while you were sharing, Gerald, because that's exactly what you're doing on Monday night. It's exactly what was done for you, and then it almost feels like a stewardship that you have been given this, and you must do something with it. So I praise the Lord for your faithfulness as well. So with that, I'm going to close this out in prayer, and please remember to keep all of these brothers in your prayers as we move forward as a church. And I look forward to next Wednesday night finishing that up with Mr. Ralph and then voting as a church to affirm these brothers to what God has called them to do. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for these men. Lord, I thank you for their families, their wives who have been so supportive of how they have served you over the years. Lord, whether they have been in the Middle East or been here locally for years, Lord, whether you drew them as a child or whether you drew them as an adult, Lord, they are serving you wholeheartedly today, and I praise you for that. I praise you for their witness. I praise you for the example that they are to our church family, both not just the way they live, but also the way that they share their faith. Dear God, I pray for these men. I pray for the brothers who have shared over the last couple weeks as well. And I just pray, Father, that you would place your hedge of protection around them. Keep them safe from the enemy. Lord, keep them protected to do your will, to do your work. And dear Lord, I do pray that most importantly, that they would be filled with your Holy Spirit to accomplish the task that is before them. Father, I thank you for the blessing of this church. Thank you for the direction that the church is going in. I thank you for the health of our body, the unity that we sense, the congregation that is growing and pulling everyone pulling together. I praise you for the future expansion efforts that we are right in the middle of. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would allow us to continue in a strong way. Father, help us continue to go full speed ahead toward the plans and purposes that you have set out already for our church. We have your vision. We see clearly the next steps. But dear God, we need your empowerment to accomplish it. Lord, give us the strength. Give us the ideas. Give us the creative way that we need to accomplish it. And we will do it. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're dismissed. Thank y'all.
This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.